All right, guys. It's October 8th. Doing a little coaching call here. So I mentioned in the prior email on Friday, I flipped a deal, made $4,000. So you guys want to hear about kind of how that one went down and what I learned?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. So this, I spoke about this lead, I think, maybe a couple, two, 3 weeks ago. On it happened to be somebody that was actually on my buyer's list. And they had originally looked to purchase a rent-to-own home from me, I think like 2 or 3 years ago. And they ended up buying a place. They actually ended up buying a house about 2 years ago, and then they turned it into a rental property. And then in December, they actually found another place that they bought, and they moved into that one in December. But the husband just found out that his job was getting transferred, and so he's been in San Diego for his new job for several months now. They actually ended up moving out of the house they bought in December and moved into one of the property they bought a couple of years ago because their tenant had moved out. And they wanted to sell this thing, but the problem was since they bought it in December, in order for them to sell, they're going to have to probably come in a pocket maybe about $15,000 or $20,000 to pay a real estate agent. And so they're kind of in a predicament. So they called me and just were kind of trying to figure out what I do for lease options for sellers. So the lead didn't come. It wasn't anything I really had to negotiate too hard. The benefit was that they had seen me advertise properties for years. And, the teaching point on that is when you have a buyer's list and you're advertising properties, over time you're gonna find out, you're going to start getting opportunities like this that you really, it's hard to get when you're new. But since I've kind of, through my emails, been able to develop a relationship where they had the trust, the selling part of me getting this thing under contract was super, super easy. But basically what I went in there and I which I would do with any seller, I wanted to go see the house. I didn't want to do much negotiating on the phone because I figured if I already had some general interest from them and they seemed like to be a good candidate because the house was in good condition and they didn't have any equity, I said, well, let's just meet so I can see the house because I need to make sure this is going to work for my rent-to-own program. And so that's kind of playing a reluctant role. So I didn't jump out and go, oh, yeah, let's do this. I wanted to kind of get them in a position where they were hoping that I would help them out. So went to the house. House is gorgeous. I mean, it needed absolutely zero work. In fact, it had been remodeled before they bought it in December, so it was in great shape. And some of you guys may have seen the video tour of this one. It was a house that had in a cul-de-sac in Bremerton. They owed $211,000, and so what I did is I figured if they were to break even, they would need to sell for about $217,000 in order for them to net the $211,000 to break even. And so I said, well, what if I could do a 2 to 3 year option at $217,000, and I asked what their mortgage payment was, and their mortgage payment was, I think it was like $1,250, and so with like $150 that goes towards principal, I said, well, what if I could pay $1,295 with a $200 per month credit? So essentially, it would give them a little bit of a positive cash flow monthly. But then when it came to selling the house, the $200 that I would have come off the price and the $150 that they would actually come off their mortgage, it ended up that after the 2 years or so, they would break even completely. So they were totally cool with it. I never even brought up the fact of option consideration at all. Their alternative was to list it or with a property manager, which actually they had contacted a property manager who was going to advertise the property for rent for $1,300, but they would have to pay a 10% management fee. So they were going to net a lot less to the property manager. So they actually ended up calling them and canceling their contract before it even started, before it was advertised. So got the video tour done, put on my website, sent the email blast out. I did get some interest from my list. But ultimately, I ended up putting up a bunch of signs. I probably put up about 10 signs in the area for that says rent to own, bad credit okay with a phone number. And I think within the first 24 hours, I had got a call from this family who was interested in taking a look at the property. They said their situation, they actually didn't have really bad credit. The wife had some credit things. The husband's credit was good, except for the fact that he was between jobs. And normally this would not be somebody that I would put in the house, but they said that they had a lot of saved up and savings from his prior job. He was looking for new work, and they could put the full down payment. They might even be able to pay some upfront rent, you know, several months in advance if it made a difference. So I decided to show the property to them, and they loved the house. I asked about what they could do, and they actually offered to pay 6 months rent upfront plus the $4,000 down. And then for me, it was just a matter of making sure, verifying the credit. And I would certainly approve them for any house that I have with that much down and the advance rent. I always give the seller an opportunity to take a look at it also and, you know, veto a tenant. But they were kind of on board with whatever I plan on doing, which in this case, I decided, since they were pretty willing to just do whatever I wanted, I gave them my opinion on it, and then I just said, hey, if this is my tenant, you know, I would approve them if I was doing it for one of my house. If they're paying 6 months advance, then I feel pretty good about letting somebody like this in. So they were totally cool with it, and then we ended up meeting 2 days later, and I received the $4,000 assignment fee, and they also had a check for 6 months advance that went to the seller. And then how I did this transaction is instead of doing a cancellation of option and then letting the seller and buyer do all their paperwork, what I did is I completed all the paperwork with me as the seller, and then I signed my paperwork back to the original owner. And that's the paperwork I use that Joe McCall has. That's how he does it. And so it all went out without a hitch, and then on Friday I collected the check. So worked out pretty good.
Well, congrats, Mike. Sounds like a good deal.
Yeah. So here's what I learned. One, the house was a good house. I have other houses on my website right now, which, you know, they're older or they might need paint, or, you know, the carpet's not really good. This one was a really, really nice house. I wouldn't say it wasn't like spectacular, but it was a really, really good first-time home buyer home. And when you walked in, it was really clean. It actually had new carpet, so it showed very well. The fact that they had bought it recently, didn't have any other options, meant that the lease to own, they're like a motivated seller, so they didn't want to come out of pocket. And the thought of being an out-of-state landlord was not something that they're really happy with. So I think that what you can learn from this is that you can target some of those properties, the nicer home. And even with like direct mail, if you, you know, you might be able to target the properties that were built at a certain time frame, you know, after 2000 or something like that, because they're a higher likelihood that they're in good condition. So I don't know. Anybody have any kind of questions or anything or challenges or stuff that they want to know about this type of deal, and where I can help them out? David, have you shown your place in Alabaster? Because you've got a really nice house there.
Yeah, not getting a lot of interest in it, though. I need to put up a new set of signs, although some of the original ones are still up, which is quite impressive in itself. But yeah, I need to do something to generate more interest.
Have you had a chance to show it yet to anybody?
I've had one person go over and look at it that didn't have any down payment. And, you know, they liked the house, but they're not in a position to do anything with it as far as having a down payment.
Right.
But that's actually looking more interesting, as I pay October's payments on it.
Well, so I know that you kind of have a 5 to 15 grand is what you're asking for down. Are you? And I've never advertised that way, so this is the first time that I've. And for the guys that are not aware, I kind of have a flex option on David's property so that I can advertise to my list and do Craigslist, and I've got some signs out, so I'm taking some calls. The challenge, and what I've found, is the people that have called from the signs, I'm not getting as many calls from Craigslist or the ones that go to the website. I don't know if it's because they're seeing a higher down payment, but I still am getting calls from the signs. But when it comes to the down payment, that's what people are having a challenge with on that.
Well, it certainly spent less. I mean, what I don't want to get somebody in there that's not going to be able to buy it, because I only have five years on it to get it done. So I need somebody that actually has some potential of buying it. And what I've found in the past is if they have no money down, then they're really, their mindset's more of a renter.
Right. I agree. Well, what I would probably recommend on that one is to, instead of actually, if you're asking for a lot down, I wouldn't put anything on the website. I would just say reasonable amount down, and then payments as low as $1,470. And that way, people will look at the payment, they'll get excited, and you can still put it through. But you may find that somebody if they love the house, but they only have like $3,000 or $4,000 down, but you want more, after they've seen the property, they, you know, suddenly come up with a way to be able to afford a higher payment. Or a higher down payment. Maybe they have a family that can help them or something like that, which kind of makes the difference.
But getting them into the house first, to where they're invested in it.
Well, you want to have somebody that that, if they got zero down, that's not going to work at all, obviously. But if somebody has $3,000 or $4,000 down, usually what I'll do is I'll say, well, you know, I really need at least five. But, you know, if I were to be willing to let you in with $3,000 or $4,000, now, do you think that you'd have a family member or somebody that could help out? Or do you think that when it comes to tax time, you could pay, like for your tax returns, you could pay another couple, $2,000 to $3,000 down at that later time? Or do you have anything that you can offer in trade? Or maybe they have a vehicle or something. That's what I have in my application, is, you know, asking them if they've got any additional items that they could trade or do something in lieu of the down payment.
Okay.
But I mean, that's a nice house. But you know, I would seem like you get a lot of interest. But the only challenge I'm thinking is the down payment that they're seeing on the website, being $5,000 to $15,000, might be a little bit steep to get the initial interest. I don't know.
Okay. Well, I will certainly make that adjustment. And as can you on the website,
okay,
where you're listing it.
And so for the rest of you guys too, if you I have properties on the website, and I already talked to Mary, because Mary asked if she would be able to get a flex option on any of my houses. If you guys are looking to start building a buyer's list, I'll give you guys permission to, I'll get a flex option on my places that you can advertise, and help you make a little bit of cash and build up a buyer's list. So who else might be interested in doing that?
No, I certainly am.
Put my house on your website. All right. If you, whoever wants to get a flex option in my places, and then what I'll do is I'll pay 25% JV on any of your stuff. So if you can, help find a buyer, that would be sweet. So does anybody have anything going on with talking to sellers, or any deals in progress, or any challenges that I can help out with? Sally,
I'm looking at a duplex in Buckley on a lease option. He's willing to take a lease option. He's high on the price right now. And he wants to see, of course, what the market will bear. So it's kind of a callback situation.
Right. Is anybody still sending out yellow letters? Is anybody calling Craigslist? Has anybody talked to any sellers this week?
Yeah, I have. I've got a deal cooking up in Tacoma that can't really figure out what to do with. If nobody else has anything, I could run through that real quick.
Yeah, why don't you do that?
Great rental properties, fully rented right now. They're right by the Puget Sound University, like walking distance to it. So the rental area is good, and the seller is willing to do pretty much anything. He lives out of state, and these are the last two of his portfolio, and it makes sense that he hasn't been able to get rid of them just because he's over-leveraged on both of them. Over-leveraged, but and the loans aren't even that great on them either. So, I mean, I'm looking at them, and he would obviously give them away subject to, but even then, I have a hard time seeing a deal here unless there's some creative thing that I'm missing.
Well, how much over finance are they?
One of them, I've got an ARV on it at 253, and he owes about 290 on it.
Yeah,
and
that's quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and the other one's worse.
Yeah, so I'm using like a 10% rule of thumb. If it's more than 10% over finance, I probably want to pass on it. So you know what? I think the challenge, obviously, talking to sellers, these deals, I'm having a little bit easier time with it probably because I'm getting a lot of referrals and stuff. But, you know, we should, with a solid day of calling sellers, we should be able to pull some leads out of this and get some appointments. So I'm wanting to find out, would you guys be interested in get together at Forza over in North Tacoma and just spending a few hours and all we do is talk to sellers, try to drum up some leads? Would that help out?
Yeah, I'd be up for that.
Okay. Are you guys, would this Saturday work for people to meet?
This is Vince. I'm going to be out of town this weekend.
Okay. Are you guys available during the week at all? Or
I'm more available during the week.
Okay.
I could do Saturday morning.
I got a super flexible schedule, so I don't know if because I probably wouldn't want to call people past about 7 o'clock. For those of you that can meet during the week, what's the earliest in the day that you can meet, or the afternoon, or whatever?
Mike, I'm available during the week, but I've been calling during the day, and I just don't do very well. I don't get people until 5 or 6 or 7 o'clock is when I start getting
them. And maybe that's what we do is we can call in the afternoon, maybe starting at like 4, and make calls till about 7. But I want to be able to get some properties under contract because I know this has been like a challenge for the whole group, and so I want to be able to see if we can maybe working together make it a little bit easier. Are you guys available on like this Thursday? We met in Tacoma.
I am.
David, could you meet? Okay, Sally could. David, could you meet on Thursday?
No, I'm. I can't do Thursday. I can do. Tuesday or Wednesday.
Tuesday or Wednesday. I think that I might have Wednesday available, but I'd have to check my calendar. Sally, would you be able to do Wednesday?
Yeah, I can do Wednesday.
Okay. Hey, Vince, would you be able to do Wednesday?
I can't.
Okay.
But don't, I think you should try to go ahead without me. I don't want to hold this up.
Sure. Why don't we tentatively plan to meet on Wednesday, maybe at 4 o'clock, and then that's all we'll do. I've got my VA started contacting Craigslist again, and so I'm getting a lot of leads. I'm not going to be able to follow up all of them because they're getting a lot of calls every day. And I guess that's where my challenge is. I'm wondering where's the disconnect right now. Like what's the part of talking with sellers that has seemed to be the biggest challenge? I mean, is that something that does anybody have it? You know, can tell me kind of where the challenge is?
I think you were on the right track when you told us that maybe the for rent was better than the for sale by owner.
The for rent is way better because they're already okay with having a tenant, but it might be out because they, you know, they might reluctantly be willing to have a tenant. But if you can imagine, if somebody's got their house for sale, their first thought is that they want to be able to get cashed out. They want to be done with the house. That's why they have it for sale. But by having a house for rent, you know, they're obviously not expecting to sell their house, but they might want to. Or or they might be a reluctant landlord because they tried to sell and they couldn't sell. So I always have better luck with for rent. I have challenges with the for sale just like everybody else. So
the inventory is low right now. And so people really think that if they've got their house on the market, they're going to sell it and they're going to cash out.
But there's a lot of people that can't sell, and they know they can't sell because they owe as much as what the house is worth.
Right, and they've already they're resigning themselves to renting it until the market comes back.
Right, okay. And so the thing that changed in my script, so to speak, when I talked to sellers or landlords or whatever, is I say, you know, it sounds like a nice house. Before I just said, hey, would you consider selling? But a lot of them just said no, and it wasn't because they didn't want to sell. It's because they knew that they couldn't sell. So I started saying, would you be willing to sell your house either now or sometime in the future? And that usually will get them out and go, oh, yeah, well, you know, I'd like to sell when the market comes back, but I can't sell now. And so it's a – and we can do one of two things. So obviously, if you know, it's going to be really tough to get deals if we're not, you know, making the offers and talking to the sellers. But talking to sellers freaking sucks, and I hate it too. And so this could be something where, you know, you might just want to see about hiring a virtual assistant to at least get through to the sellers that are motivated and willing to work with you. But why don't we just plan on Thursday at 4 o'clock, David and Sally, let's go, and we'll meet over at the Forza over there in North Tacoma.
Now, are you talking Thursday or Wednesday?
No, that's it. So Wednesday, right?
Wednesday.
David, you can only meet Wednesday, right, David?
Correct.
Okay. Well, then let's do that. Wednesday at 4, and then we'll see if we can't get something on a contract. And it'd be great if we can actually get an appointment. I'd be happy to go on appointments with you guys and see about locking something up. Is there anybody that has anything in particular that they need some help with, or we just want to wait till Wednesday?
Can you give us a little feedback on your REAPS presentation and what people are doing over there?
So with REAPS, basically what I did is I did an overview of lease options, selling a lease option, kind of like most of the stuff that you guys already know. And then I chatted a little bit about the wholesaling lease option. So I don't think there's anything that you guys haven't heard before. Although the best way that I can articulate when I approach a deal for doing lease option is I will, obviously you've got the upfront option consideration, you've got the monthly payment, you have the final sales price. If you can negotiate two of those three terms to be very, very favorable, so you can get a big spread, then my recommendation is to try to do a sandwich lease option where you can stay in the deal. If you can't get two out of the three and you can only get the upfront, then that's going to be your wholesale lease option. So I don't think that you guys would have heard anything brand new that I hadn't talked to you about before. In fact, you know a lot more about these because I had to stay kind of general. I couldn't get too specific. But by the way, my offer, if anybody can get a deal under contract, and I guess we'll go till the end of the month and get something flipped, I still want to do that iPad giveaway. So I'm hoping Apple will announce this month. They're supposed to, but that's still up for grabs if we can do that.
Cool.
So why don't we just plan that? We'll go on Saturday or on Wednesday, and then maybe what I'll even do for you, Vince, and anybody that can't go is maybe we can get some of those calls recorded, and then I can just throw them up on the website. That probably would help out too. To be able to
very cool.
Again. So, all right. Well, let's just plan on that. If anybody has anything else, shoot me an email, And then also, yeah, if you're interested in getting a flex option on any of my properties so you can advertise and help me out and make some dough too, I would just shoot me an email and I'll send you a flex option contract.
Great.
All right. We'll talk to you guys later.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
All right.
Bye.
See you. Bye.